those first two chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel, as well as the first two chapters of St. Luke's Gospel, have as their purpose to establish the fact of the Incarnation. They seek to answer the question, who is this child? This year is the year of Matthew, and so it is through Matthew's writing that that question is asked and answered. And as you recall from a week ago, it is through the eyes and the experience of Joseph that Matthew chooses to answer that question. And so in the very beginning, Matthew traces the lineage of this child, the genealogy of this child. And in his so doing, he links the child to Abraham, the patriarch, and to David, the king. And all of this linkage, all of this connection comes through the father, comes through Joseph, the legal father of the child. And so the child is the son of Abraham, and the child is the son of David. The child embodies the promise God made to Abraham, the covenant God established with Abraham. And the child fulfills the promise of the kingship of David, the dynasty of David. The hopes and dreams of the patriarchs and the prophets are now present and fulfilled in this child. Joseph is told that the child is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this child is to be Savior of his people. And so the child is to be named Jesus. So at the end of the first chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, it falls on the shoulders of Joseph to name the child. And in obedience to the word of the angel, Joseph calls the child Jesus. So at the end of the first chapter, this child is son of Abraham, son of David, and son of God. The second chapter opens with the story of the visit of the Magi, which is the story for next week. But this week it is the image of the flight into Egypt. Because for Matthew, Jesus is also the new Moses. Jesus is the one who will rescue his people from slavery and bring them to the freedom of grace. Jesus is the one who will go up the side of the mountain, as did Moses, and will proclaim the law, in this instance, the new law, the Sermon of the Beatitudes. And so, this child is taken into Egypt, just as the people of Israel were drawn and taken into the land of Egypt. This child is drawn into the land of Egypt because of the evil king, the king who would seek the life of the child. And there is a parallel in the life of Moses. Moses seeks to defend a Hebrew who is being maltreated by an Egyptian. And in the process, Moses kills the Egyptian. And when the Pharaoh finds out, he declares his desire to slay Moses. And so Moses flees into the land of Midian. And some years later, the word of the Lord comes to Moses that the evil Pharaoh has died. The word of the Lord is, get up and return, for the one who sought your life has now died. Almost a verbatim statement to the statement found in Matthew in the word of the angel, get up, take the child and his mother, and return to the land of Israel, for those who sought the life of the child have now died. And so Joseph gets up and he takes the child and his mother out of Egypt and brings them back to Israel, all to fulfill what is spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. And so for Matthew, not only is Jesus the son of David and the son of Abraham and the son of God, but he is the fulfillment of the promise made to the people of Israel. That in Jesus there is a new Passover. In Jesus there is a new release from Egypt. In Jesus there is new freedom for a people. Both Luke and Matthew have to get Jesus born in Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is the city of David. And this child must be born in the city of David. And both Luke and Matthew have to get this child to Nazareth, because the child must grow up as a citizen in Nazareth. The child must be a Nazarene. Well, Luke does it differently from Matthew. Luke begins his story saying that Joseph and Mary are residents of Nazareth. And because of a world census, they must travel south to Bethlehem, to the city of David, because Joseph is of the house of David. Now, for Matthew, there is no census in the story. And for Matthew, Joseph and Mary live in Bethlehem. For Matthew, there is no stable and no inn. For Matthew, there is a house, the house of Joseph and Mary, the house in which the child is born. And yet, Matthew must get that child to Nazareth, because the child is to be a Nazarene. And so, coming out of Egypt at the word of the angel, he takes the child and his mother back to Israel and is about to go to Bethlehem, where they have their house, but realizes that Archelaus, the stepson of Herod, easily as bloodthirsty as his stepfather, was now the ruler of Judea. And he feared that there would be another attempt on the child's life. So he goes into Galilee of the Gentiles, the Galilee where Jesus will live, the Galilee of Capernaum, the Galilee where Jesus will confront not only the people of Israel, but the Gentile nations, the Galilee in which the promise made to Abraham will be extended to all the world. And within Galilee, he comes to Nazareth. And there he establishes a home for the child and his mother, so that the child will be known as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. And so by the end of the second chapter, the stage is now set for the public life of Jesus. He is son of Abraham. He is son of David. He is Jesus, the Savior, Son of God, and he is Jesus the Nazarene. And as Jesus of Nazareth, he will be known for all the rest of history. Every year, as we observe Good Friday, and we hear the story of the Passion of Christ, we are told that over him was hung a charge as he hung upon the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Well, for Matthew, this is what it means to say there is incarnation. It is physical and it is real and it is rooted in history and human life. This child has ancestors. This child has a family history. This child just doesn't appear out of nowhere. This child has a physical father and a physical mother. This child is the victim of the decisions of others, just as every human being is. This child knows what it is to be an alien, a displaced person. This child knows what it is to be part of a community, part of a family. This child is truly, fully human, and fully divine. And for Matthew, all of this, every single piece of this, is accomplished through the agency or through the hand of Joseph. There is no part of the infancy story, according to Matthew, where the face and the hand of Joseph are not seen. So part of the story also is this child knows what it is to be the child of a human father. And Joseph knows what it is to be the father of an infant son. The mystery is profound, and the implications are at home for the condition in which any human person, any human family lives, is now blessed and marked by the incarnation of God. We turn to the Lord God in faith, and we make our prayer.
For the family of the church, that it may be a mother and a home for all people in need, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For parents and grandparents, that they may be models of honest living, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For families severely tried by poverty and by problems related to drugs and sexual abuse, that society may support them in their efforts to live a more human life, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the United Nations may advance the unity of the family of nations, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for all of those who are sick. Andrea Wenker, Nate Thorson, Mariah Tift, Sadie Fayen, Megan Napote. That the Lord might grant them healing, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
You are welcome to the social hall after Mass. Coffee and rolls are served in the social hall, an opportunity to visit with each other. At the doors of the church are parish calendars for this year that are provided to us by the graciousness of the Bradshaw Funeral Homes. There is a calendar for each household, so please take a calendar as you leave church. In the back of church, against the wall, are stewardship envelopes for 2008, for the coming year, for children and for young people. Stop by after Mass and pick up your stewardship envelopes. All right? What you need to do is just sign your name and the number of the envelope box. And then every Sunday as you come to church, bring that envelope with you. And what you put in that envelope is something that you wish to bring back to the Lord. It could be an action that you did during the week to help somebody out. Or it could be your prayer life during the week. Or it could be a portion of the allowance you received. But whatever it is that you bring back to the Lord on Sunday what you have done in living out your faith during the week. That's really what it's all about. That's what that offertory procession is about. We all come hauling our week back. And as we leave church, we go out into a new week. To love and to serve the Lord. That's what we say we do. And then next week we come back and we bring with ourselves some expression, some token, some portion of what we have been and done during that week. So, pick up those envelopes on the way out. Contributions made to St. Matthew's that are received in the office by Wednesday of this week at noon will be credited to the year 2007. So if you are concerned about contributions from the point of view of tax deductions, remember that the deadline is 12 o'clock noon on Wednesday.